Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. My name is Dr. Martin Mendelson, one of your hosts. I am a disabled dentist, coach, speaker, and thought leader, and I've been joined by my co-host and my good friend, Dr. Kyle Stanley, who's a dentist, tech entrepreneur, speaker, and researcher. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry, both here and in our two-day in-person workshop called Lightside Live, which is going to be in Southern California this coming November 1st and 2nd of 2024, which we're super excited about. So if you've been enjoying the content on our podcast, it's your opportunity to hang out with us for 2 days and other like-minded colleagues. And you can simply go to wellnessanddentistry.com and you'll find all the information via a link to our live course. But today we're going to be talking about reducing stress in dentistry through clarity, taking that overwhelm, breaking it down so that we feel like we have a better handle on what's going on to reduce stress. So Kyle, welcome to you.
Thank you.
What do you think about this topic?
Well, it's an important topic because, first of all, we know the statistics. I mean, some of them are that we're twice as likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, and panic disorder simply because we are dentists. So there is an epidemic that's happening in dentistry that maybe has been happening for decades that has been swept under the rug.
Yeah.
And so we know the problem is there. The question is, how do we solve it? And of course, we've talked a lot of that over, you know, the last 20 episodes of our podcast. I think specifically today, it's taking all of these overwhelming things and balancing that with our ambition. Mm-hmm. The difficult part with dentists specifically is that we are achievers. We are overachievers many times, which a lot of people would look at that and say, what's bad about that, right? However, the problem is when you have general ambition, you get anxiety because you want to achieve everywhere. Oh yeah, I want to be ambitious here and here and here and here and here. We need to have a little more clarity and a little more awareness so that we can have focused ambition and we can really achieve well.
Yeah, often the overwhelm comes from overwhelming thoughts, meaning we have all this stuff going on through our heads and we have trouble kind of wrangling and focusing into what our next steps are. And so reducing stress in dentistry through clarity, you know, it's kind of like the concept of treatment planning, which I know even in the first module of your Lightside course, you talk about relative to treatment planning. If you think about it this way, if you want a certain aesthetic outcome, a certain functional outcome, this is your end result. Great. Now, how are we going to get there? Well, we need to have, you know, these kind of restorations. We have these diagnoses. We have to treat these conditions. We have to engage these specialists. We have to work with our lab technician, get our hygienist involved, et cetera. So we piecemeal the process. And as part of piecemealing the process, we're also coming up with timeframes, right? They may be estimates. They may be exact. But we know where we're going. And so analogously, life can be similar because when we start to break down these big challenges into their component parts, we get focused actually on achieving the component parts and it reduces the feeling of overwhelm because we're getting something done, right?
It's such a great analogy, especially for us dental professionals, mm-hmm. because most of us are pretty darn good at treatment planning,
yeah.
right? We spend a lot of time. We took a lot of effort and money to learn how to do this. Maybe they went mm-hmm. to Spear or Coyce or Pankey or Dawson mm-hmm. and learned how to do this. I mean, I learned a lot of this from Christian Coachman. He's an incredible treatment planner. And so we always begin with the end in mind. Mm-hmm. Just like when I was doing implants, it was decide where the tooth is going to go first.
Yep.
Okay, that's the end goal. The end goal is a tooth. The patient doesn't come in and say, I want an implant. They may say that, but they actually don't care if there's an implant. They want a tooth. Mm-hmm. That's what they care about. So that's the end goal. So you go back, okay, if the tooth needs to be here and the bite has to be here and the gingival margin needs to be here, then the implant needs to be 4 millimeters apical to that so that we have a good emergence profile. We have the proper supracrestal attachment, what used to be called mm-hmm. biologic width many years ago. etc. We want the angle of the implant coming this way so we could have screw retained so we can avoid cement. I mean, we're pretty good at this. And what's also interesting about this too is when we do it wrong, we physically see the problems with our patients. Okay. So having that end goal is, I think, the easy part. But what makes a good treatment planner is not saying, oh, I want the teeth here and I want the bite to look like this. It's saying, how do we get there? And so, like you said, the questions you really have to ask yourself is, number one, is it possible? What are the steps? What is the realistic timeline? How much will it cost? What sacrifices will I have to make? This is a great one. And who will be on my team for this?
Yeah,
So
100%.
let's relate this first to the dental treatment plan.
Yeah.
Is it possible? Like, a patient may come in and say, I want blah, blah, blah. And you say, it's just not possible. What you want, I'm sorry, it's not possible. What you have, where we need to get, these teeth can't be saved, for example.
So a good bridge is the whole concept of SMART goals. So SMART is an acronym. So if you're looking to achieve something, it's specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, and timely. Is that right? Yeah. And so it's the A, the attainable part is the realistic part. So attainable, realistic, timely. Sorry, I messed up the R. And so,
Can you say this to me one more
yeah, so
time?
it's specific, measurable, achievable, reasonable and timely. Like, can I do it? And is it reasonable to do it? Like, you may be able to. So the specific goal is climbing Mount Everest. You're going to do that in a year. Is that attainable? Well, theoretically, yeah, but is it realistic? Well, no, because I can't have the time to train and I don't have the financial resources, etc. So attainable versus reasonable, there's the difference. And so that can be used when you're looking to set goals to not only get a litmus test, but also then get very specific to understand what does success look like? How are you going to measure it? Is it achievable, reasonable, and within what time frame are you going to do it?
One thing that's important with treatment planning is not skipping steps. And I think we can relate this back to setting goals in life, right? Reducing anxiety. And so when you look at this quote that we got, general ambition gives you anxiety, specific ambition gives you direction. I think we can look at this general ambition giving you anxiety. That would be like saying, I need to improve this patient's mouth.
Right. That's great. How are you gonna do
Yeah,
that?
it tells you nothing, right?
Yes,
Are you talking about
yes.
aesthetics? Are you talking about function? Are you talking about reducing pain? Are you, do you want the color to change? Do you want the overjet to be different? Are you putting them in CR? I mean, all of these little, it's so general that you could just spin your wheels on that all day. However, if the patient comes to you and they say, I want to be able to chew food at the dinner table and not worry about my teeth falling. You can be very specific about this. Okay, we're talking about function. I would love to also have some aesthetic changes as well. This means I need this many implants or I need to do this many root canals to save these teeth. And you could start being more prescriptive in this. And I think in our lives as dentists, breaking things down into smaller steps can really help us give us directions because what most of us do is say, I want to grow my business.
Yeah, absolutely. What part of your business and by how much and under which time frame? And so I'll give you some examples relative to the kind of practice growth part. And I go through a lot of this stuff in this new from leadership from overwhelm to optimal performance. I'm creating a whole course on this because it's such a need that I've identified where people just get so overwhelmed, they don't know what to do next. And so, example, if you want to hire a new team member and you have a to-do list, the worst thing you can do is put hire new team member on your to-do list because that tells you absolutely nothing And put yourself, just visualize yourself for just a minute. You've got all this stuff to do, and you look at your to-do list that says, shoot, I need to hire that new assistant or that new hygienist. And all it says is hire a new team member. What do you do? You have 10 minutes. Like, does that give you any clarity how to spend the 10 minutes? So if you're a fan of the work of David Allen, which I am, who wrote the book Getting Things Done, a to-do list should never have anything on it that isn't the next actionable step. So in this case, you may have a list of things that need to be done in order to hire that team member and bring them aboard and onboard them. But your next actionable step might be write ad that could go in Indeed or Facebook or Craigslist or whatever. So it could be write ad. It could be meet with my office manager to discuss job description. It could be open Indeed account if you don't have one. So when you have that next actionable step, you understand what needs to be done. When you accomplish that step, you have a feeling of accomplishment, and then it spurs you on to do the next step because you feel like you're actually getting somewhere. So the idea of, as David Allen would put it, tasks versus projects. Like anything that has more than one step becomes a project. And so if it's something you need to do, take out a piece of paper, whether that's real or virtual, and write down what it is that you need to do. And for some people, you might say, well, that's a bit of an onerous step, but you got to do all of it anyway. So why not take the 30 seconds to 5 minutes or however long it takes to actually write down what those next steps are so that you can start getting those done more readily, reduce your stress, and make progress in the process of this whole thing.
Why do you think, as you were talking about that, I was thinking, why do you think so many of our dental colleagues are bad at this in our personal lives, but so good at this clinically? And I'm going to tell you first what I think, and then let me know if you agree or if you have other thoughts. I think it's simply because we've been trained on it. We've been trained how to treatment plan, so we're good at treatment planning to where we haven't been trained how to do this business aspect, or I don't even know what you would call this, like life planning.
So what I'd say to you is, yeah, and what I've also observed over the years is that dentists find things in their personal life that are analogous that they can really sink their teeth into. So I know a lot of dentists that are into cooking, like real cooking. I know dentists that are really into cars, looking at you. I
Hello.
know dentists that are really into like fishing or hunting or other hobbies that are very detailed, stepwise oriented, right? The minute you make an emotional connection with this kind of stuff, that's when things, I think, get more interesting. Because then we get kind of demeanor, emotional intelligence, relationships, all those other variables coming to play. And it kind of derails us away from the cut and dry, black and white, 1 millimeter or 10 comparisons and discrepancies.
So, do you think that because we learned how to treatment plan, I mean, we spent years learning how to do it, that that's why we're good at it? I mean, I know there are dentists that are not good at treatment planning, but
To some
most
degree.
people aren't horrible, right? I think there's people that are not good at maybe really comprehensive treatment planning where you're talking about ortho and endo and orthognathic and aesthetic and reconstructive altogether, that becomes complex if you don't do it every day.
And I think that can be taught too. I mean, I've seen it at Spear over and over and over again, where people are or have been treatment planning one tooth dentistry or single tooth dentistry for years, are interested in kind of engaging the broader picture and jump in with both feet and do quite well. I mean, the antithesis is also true. Like sometimes I've heard people, at Spear, and I know this is true at other institutions too, where they're like, well, these are all big comprehensive cases. I don't have these kind of cases in my practice. But what you, but those comprehensive cases, as I've said before on this podcast, are just culminations of singular steps. And so if you could become a student of comprehensive cases, you can handle anything below and up to it, because a comprehensive case is just a culmination of a bunch of singular steps, just like life, just like any project, just like any initiative in your business or personal life. Everything is a culmination of single steps. It just is.
That's a great example. And when we talk about this general ambition, how we need to get direction, I love this quote from Peter Dawson. And he says, if you know where you want to go, it's easier to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And what's funny is it sounds like a quote that could be used anywhere in life. He's talking about it in dentistry. He's talking about, well, if the central incisors are going to be here, then the laterals need to be there, then the canines will be there, then the premolars will follow. That means the upper occlusal plane will be here. That means the lower occlusal plane will be here. That means I need to place my lower implants here. Septus
Yeah.
grax accessory hole comes out here. I have the correct thickness of material and my connection size is good. And it's all about knowing where you need to go. And so something that you've talked about a lot is setting these goals, writing them down, putting a deadline on them. And tell me about the different levels of when you add these specific layers, how much it makes them more achievable.
Yeah, this is university research out of California. I think it was Dominion University, if I remember right. But there's different layers. So just writing a goal down, they've seen, can give you upwards of a 43% likelihood of achieving said goal just by writing it down versus having it rumble around in your brain. The second level is with social accountability. If you actually tell somebody about it, somebody that you know and trust, and they keep you accountable, now you're about 65-ish percent of the way there to achieve a goal. If you then also set a deadline, then you're about 95% of the way there to achieve a goal. And so, look, the numbers aren't as important as the increase in the numbers are relatively. And so I think we all know this. We all know this, that if we just sit and think about something in our head, it doesn't usually get done. If we take the courage, which is what it is, to share with somebody, that's a little bit more. And then if we set a deadline, well, holy smokes, we got to keep to it, right? Like you and I both have had stuff in our own lives that we've kept each other accountable for that we've gotten done, right? Because we've shared that and we've set a deadline to do it. So that's huge. And I think it speaks for collegial interaction, whether it's within your own practice, study clubs, organized dentistry, colleagues from dental school, whatever it is, just engage other people to keep you accountable and help you celebrate your wins. Like, why not?
Yeah, I have a friend who is a musician and he's been my friend for a long time. And he's creating an online course for songwriting. He's an
So fun.
accomplished songwriter. I mean, gold records and this and that. And he told me, hey, I want to have my course out by this date. And so I keep texting him, hey, how's it going? What's happening with it? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I got to. And so I am that social proof for him to keep him accountable. And he knows he kind of has to answer to me. I mean, of course, that doesn't mean anything. I'm just his friend. I'm not his coach or his business associate or something. But I think him knowing that I am going to check on him will keep him accountable. And this topic of having direction and having ambition instead of general ambition, having specific ambition. I would also like to say that I think we need a time frame on that. So it's kind of going back to what you were just talking about with setting a deadline, is if we have specific ambition, which is better than general ambition, but we don't have a time frame on it, this is when we can grind ourselves into burnout. Because you could say that, you know, 17, 18-year-old kid that wants to be a dentist, or let's say a successful dentist, you could say, well, they grinded through college, they grinded through dental school, they grinded through associateship, they grinded through practice ownership, and now they're 10 years into practice ownership and they have burnout. But wait, they had specific ambition, right? And so I think we also need to set a time frame on this, or else it can just turn into the new normal and have challenges and awareness of where you are in achieving that goal. Does that make sense?
I think it does. I think it almost kind of dips its toe into the whole area of self-care and, making sure that you're taking time for yourself, which some people, particularly dentists, because we're so high achievers, think is a bit of woo-woo, but it's not. And so let's rephrase this. It's like, what's the stuff that brings you joy? Now, if it's only dentistry, as we talked about in our other episode, are you addicted to dentistry? Well, Houston, we got a bit of a problem there. But what? So go listen to that episode if you're curious and are a bit challenged by what I just said. We need to be kind of the whole person. I saw a reel online the other day that I thought was rather impactful, and it was a young guy talking about the first time he went to therapy, and he said, "Oh, I'm fine." And she goes, "Well, what's important to you?" And he said, "I want to be good at what I do. I want to, be a good dad. I want to be a good husband and a good friend." And she basically, the therapist, basically said, "Being good at your job is for your clients. Being a good husband is for your wife. Being a good father is for your kids. What are you for you?"
That's really good. That's a great
Yeah.
question.
And I was like, "Whoa, what are you for you?" And we get lost sometimes in the busyness of day to day, and everybody knows the phrase, put your oxygen mask on first. Everybody gives lip service. If you want to have love, you have to love yourself. Everybody gives lip service to this. And if we're really honest with ourselves, what are you going to do for you?
You're making me think a lot by that,
Yeah.
because I think a lot of my identity is tied with others. And it also makes me think of that question when you ask dentists, who were you before you were a dentist? And they're challenging subjects, but it's something that we have to go through because it really allows you to understand yourself. And once you understand yourself, you can find out what your values are. Once you have your values, you can prioritize them. Go listen to that episode that we did. And then once you have your values prioritized, it's much easier to decide on what tasks to do because they will align with your values.
So, sorry, another shameless plug for my online course, but that's what I help people to actually figure out, because there's a time and task audit in there to figure out how you're spending your time. There's an opportunity to write down, the things that you want to do that you're not spending your time on, and then reducing the overwhelm by getting specific and scheduling things that need to be done at a future date, so you don't have to worry about them instead of worrying about them in your brain. And so getting specific around what comes next in various parts of your life is what can significantly reduce overwhelm. Because if nothing else, it's not that everything's done, it's that everything's accounted for. It's noted. It's marked as needing to be done, but at least it's there versus rolling around in your brain going, "Oh my gosh, I can't forget to do this." Well, you don't need to forget. You don't need to remember because it's part of your system. It's that simple.
A great quote that you just said, not everything needs to be done, but everything needs to be accounted for. And when you do these time-consuming exercises where you figure out what needs to be accounted for, listen, it's not easy. It takes time. However, when you're finished, there's a great sense of accomplishment and there's a great sense of control, even.
Oh,
Even
yeah.
if 75% of them you may not have the time to do for months or years, even, but just having what you need to do makes it very actionable. And especially for busy people like us dental professionals, I like how you said that before, when you have 10 minutes. Because with our job, rarely do we have 2 hours.
Correct. Yeah.
Unless you had an all on four planned, or you were doing
Totally.
wisdom teeth and an implant at the same time, or you're doing a full mouth reconstruction and the patient cancels last minute, then you have 2 hours where you're sitting around. Now, that would be nice every once in a while to have that, but most practicing dentists don't have this.
Nope.
And sometimes you don't even have 10 minutes, you have 2 minutes
Yep.
where you come back, you get to sit down, you hopefully take a drink of water, and you say,
Yep.
"Oh, Mrs. Jones is here. I don't want to be late. I gotta go say hi, you know. Oh, they're taking the x-rays. Okay, I've got another 5 minutes, right?" And so when you can have everything accounted for, and I think what would also be a nice step too would estimate how long something would take. So that let's say you have 8 minutes. You look, you say, my next patient is at 2. It is 1:52. I have 8 minutes. What can I do that's at the top of my list that I can do within 8 minutes?
I tend to bracket it, and this is not my concept, it's David Allen's. I bracket it based upon situation and location. So it's like emails I have to send, follow-ups I need to do, and that could be a text, for example, or things I need to do, like write my next article or do research for the next article. So next actionable step, there we go again. And so when you have it bracketed relative to task, a location, and even how you're going to get it done, so to speak, like email or phone call or Google or whatever, it allows you to very quickly scan and go, oh, I have 5 minutes, I could do that, versus
Yes.
going through a whole list.
Let's give an actionable example, and let's do one that we've done before because I think it's very important, which would be because it's in relation to mental health, is I want to take a day off, one extra day off a week. And I want to start doing that starting in January 2025. So January 2025, currently I'm working 5 days a week. I would like to do 4 days a week. I would like to take Fridays off. What are the actionable steps that we would need to do in order to figure out if that's possible? What we need to change, who we need to talk to, what you need to change. Let's just go through a few examples.
So what I would say is I would almost flip the goal to say the goal is going to actually be determine if and how I can take Fridays off starting in January 2025.
I like that.
So from there, because to me in my head, there's two parts to it. There's the evaluative determination, and then there's the deployment or the actual taking of the day off, which has to do with schedule changes and that kind of stuff,
Yeah.
right? So you would actually make a project list of, okay, goal for 2025, taking Friday off. And so the first thing you would do is it would say, for example, ask office manager for the average production per day for the last 3 years. And ask office manager for, and by the way, I'm just riffing here. We didn't even talk about this
Yeah.
before. Ask my office manager for the report, or if you're pulling it, it would be pull report on what each day in the practice averages production wise, because Friday may not be the perfect day. It might be Monday. Like you
Great
might
point.
discover that Monday
Great
is your
point.
lowest producing day on average. So why would you take a Friday off? So those would be the first two things, right? Then it would be evaluate my team for, the realism of taking that extra day off. In other words, would you ask them not to come in that day? Would they just, stay there, et cetera, et cetera? And so then that would rifle down into determine how many clinical days I would need to achieve, I would need to work to achieve said production goals that I've achieved over the last 3 years plus 6% growth. So you're making a list of very specific things to evaluate to then come to a decision. So, how much sense am I making?
Yeah, I'm writing some stuff down as you're saying that. I think you're making a lot of sense. And I think the the overarching general thing that you're doing is you're doing like treatment planning, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You're saying, okay, first we need to do gross debridement before I can even
Yeah.
do a treatment plan, for example,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's the first step. Is it even possible?
Yeah.
And you're going step by step and doing that. And I think a lot of it, a lot of things in this specific example that dentists don't do is look at numbers, look at math. Most of us are good at math. If you got this far, you had to be pretty okay at math.
Yep.
And because everything is digital now, it's much easier to see.
Yeah.
Because you could even say, hey, I want to take home this amount of money
Correct.
and take a day off.
Yeah, totally.
And then you, and then you, then one of your tasks may be get P&L for the last 3 years or the last year from my accountant. Because then you're going to see what your overhead is. You cross-reference that with what your average daily production is,
Yep.
and you're going to see actually how much money you're making per day.
Exactly.
I think most dentists don't know this. If you said, how much are you netting per day? Or not per day, but let's just even say per month.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know offhand what their overhead is and
No.
how powerful that is too.
Yeah. Yeah, I can I agree with you. I mean, I've seen that in action time after time after time. They can tell you gross production, usually not net production,
Yes.
usually not take home, unless they have it structured that they're basically paying themselves a salary every month and then whatever profit they're taking advantage of that. So it kind of depends on the situation. But yeah, most cannot tell you exact overhead, either dollar or percentage. And part of the reason, to be fair, is some of the DPMS systems are easier to use than others. And so sometimes it becomes a reality of not having the 3 hours to sit down and figure out how to pull X, Y, or Z report. So that's why having really great team members that you can count on really helps in this
Well, what I would
situation.
recommend for that is to, at some point, one of the tasks that should be on your list, not LISC, is create an SOP for how to pull those reports.
Exactly.
And that was something that we did at our practice where we have screenshots of literally every click that you need to do so that if we have a new person come in, it's their first day, we could say, here's where you go to pull the link for daily production for today. Planned production versus completed, for example, something like this. And so it's every click. Like, I don't know how to do it now, but if I went in, I could look and do it in 5 minutes.
100%.
And so once you create that, then you never have to do that again. And that is a leveraged way, a way of leveraging your intelligence and your work that you've done. That becomes an asset really in your practice. You know, going back
100%.
to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, for those of you that have read that that book, a lot of what they talk about is creating assets versus liabilities.
Yes,
And I
100%.
think when you think about assets as even just this little thing like an SOP on how to pull a report, that can cause a lot of stress for dentists.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when I go and do workshops inside practices, I created a packing list because I got tired of being like, oh, wait, I can't forget this. I can't forget that. I now literally have a checklist. I mean, look, if it's good enough for pilots in the OR, not that my workshops are brain surgery, but you get the idea. If it's good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for me? It literally takes all the stress away. It takes all the guesswork away. It makes me create a better product because I guarantee you, every single time I'm preparing to go into a practice, I look at my list and I go, oh, I forgot about that. And what I've also learned, talk about SOPs, I figured out exactly how much time it takes to order certain items that I usually bring as, giveaways or props or fun things. So it's in my calendar. If I have a workshop on X date, 35, 40 days before that, I have a note to go look at my checklist so that I have time to order things if I happen to be low. I'm not always low on pipe cleaners. But if I am, then I have time to order them and I don't get caught with my, proverbial pants down because I forgot to order it.
No, that's amazing. I mean, you created an asset with that.
Yeah,
Is how
totally.
I think about that.
Totally.
And how much less stress you're going to have because of how much more organized you are.
Yeah.
Because I know how it is when you're traveling, you go, "Oh my God, did I bring my dongle that connects? What if they
Exactly.
don't have a dongle that connects to my thing?" Right?
Exactly.
But if you have that and you go in and say, you're making me think that I need to create one for when I speak, like, do I have dongle? Do I have extra this? Do I have extra this?
Or I'll go one farther. Like, you could even make a gym analogy here. It's like you have your gym bag that has everything in it that you need. So you never have to worry, did I forget, my shoes or my shorts or whatever. When it comes to travel, I have a, because you were talking about dongle, I have an accessory bag. Nothing leaves that accessory bag. I don't use it. So basically it's doubled, right? So my computer charger and cable's in there, the
I did the
dongle's in
same
there, the
thing.
phone charger. So all I got to do is go bloop, and so that's an asset, right? And so how can we take that philosophy and apply that to other areas of our life?
And when we're thinking about this giant cloud of ambition that we all want to do, want to get better clinically, we want to grow our business, we want to get better, we want to have more time with our family, we want to be healthier. If we don't have these specific ambitions, we're not going to go in the right direction. And one thing I've heard you say, and I just love this visual, is that when you lock your door at night to your practice, okay, and maybe you're not locking it, but maybe someone is locking it, but let's even talk about the emotional locking of the door. You're leaving. You're not a dentist anymore. You're going home. You're being mom or dad, husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever. There's always going to be something else you could do. And coming to that realization and being okay with it is a big step.
And what I will tell you is the way that that optimally works for you to be able to leave the office behind, not every day, just most days, because there are certain times where that's things are going to be on your mind. Let's call it what it is having a system that you trust that everything is accounted for. Because if you don't, even though you lock that door and acknowledge I'm always going to have stuff to do, if you don't have a way of capture, as David Allen would call it, you're going to be ruminating over, I can't forget to do this, I can't forget to do that, blah, 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 blah. But if it's accounted for, you don't need to worry about it.
Well, let's bring today into landing. The whole idea was having clarity on your ambition so that you could be more specific in the direction that you're using your ambition instead of just having this general ambition. What are our final thoughts on this? What have we deduced from our topic today?
The key to reducing stress is simply treatment planning the situation, figuring out the next steps, and taking them one day at a time and one step at a time. That's it.
Perfect. It's way easier than I was going to explain it. So really good job. And I think that this makes sense for dentists because we treatment plan all the time. Whether you're a specialist or a GP, you're treatment planning all the time. And
I'll
we
give
get this.
you,
We
I'll
know
give you,
step by step. Don't miss the
yeah.
steps.
Or if you don't want to get that complicated, think of it like travel, like planning a vacation. You're going to decide where you want to go, and then everything falls in from there. Your airline, your hotel, your rental car, your tours, if that's applicable. It's the same thing.
And that's kind of a diagnostic wax up. I would call that is the diagnostic wax up. If you have that where you want to go, as Dawson says, it's much easier to get there.
100%. 100%.
Great. Well, we hope you enjoyed this. We always have fun talking to each other. And so we hope that you guys listening are having a good time, whether you're on your way to your practice, you're on your way home, you're doing the dishes, you're out on a walk with your dog, doing something. We thank you for taking the time and spending it with us. And if you want to spend more time with us, you want to spend 2 days, come hang out with us on November 1st and 2nd in Irvine, California, 2024. We do our Lightside Live course. This is a 2-day event. You get 12 CE credits. So come for the CE, stay for the transformational experience. That's okay. We'll allow that. And yeah, come hang out with us. So you can go to wellnessanddentistry.com, find out everything about that and anything you need from me or Martin, whether it's our online courses, our coaching, or bringing us into your study club to speak. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry. Thank
Thank
you.
you.